The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is uncensored. For over 6 years, and nearly 300 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
Well, don't just stand there.
Don't just stand there. Do something. Don't just stand there, goddammit. Do something.
Standing there just looking at shit. Do something!
And all you can do is just stand here?
Hey. Yep.
TNA never fails to disappoint. And I am disappointed. TNA is making the miracle of actually making me talk about them here at the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Nikki Heyman, and the table tonight is a little empty, but we will get back to that. We will start with the soon-to-be-graduated, God willing, Josh Henniger.
Let me say something in the mortal worlds of ECW. Balls, 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 balls. Oh, balls!
And how do you mean that, and who are you directing that at?
A certain man in South Africa this week.
Yes. We will speak of this gentleman momentarily. Yes. Let me just get to our third at the table, fourth.
And I do want to say, after hearing about the new Phenom edition of the upcoming WWE game, I can't give them my money fast enough.
Ooh, we will have to discuss that in a little more detail, but let's start with the bad news. Should we start with the intro, or should we start with the idiot stat boy?
Let's start with the intro, make things a little bit more smooth.
Okay. Last week, we had a lot of fun making fun of Dixie, deciding that she was going to open up the Twitterverse and say, "Ask me anything." That worked out so well.
Tisk. Apparently, she did get busy in a Burger King bathroom, though.
I didn't ask, but the August 1 warning that they were hyping with the crazy video with the anonymous voice that isn't Batista, thank God, finally came to a head as you heard in our intro that TNA can also do illustrated radio like a 1970s cartoon. That it was Tito Ortiz. I need my Miz impression. Excuse me. Really? Really? Really?
At least it wasn't Riley.
No, Riley's doing some much needed mic work as a color commentator on SmackDown this week, and he didn't sound half bad.
Mm-hmm.
But fourth. Another MMA guy? Didn't they learn their lesson with Rampage and King Mo?
Sadly, TNA had a lot of things to have learned their lesson from. So, this is not something that surprises me.
So, to this, I'm sure a lot of fans had some wonderful things to say, but I'm more intrigued that some wrestlers chimed in on this thing. Let me pull up a couple that I came across. Actually, I only have to go to one guy. Somebody let Psycho Sid Vicious have a Twitter account.
Yes.
And Sid had way too much fun with this. So let me see. Let's see, what have I got here? Oh yes, let me get the list going, because this is going to take a minute.
Oh boy.
After the TNA disaster, Vince's ego swelled to the size of his old shoulder pads. TNA, you should have pulled out before you shot that load tonight. If the reveal would have been any wrestling performer, I wouldn't have said a word. That doesn't deserve a rim shot, because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The people have spoken, but Dixie isn't listening. Sting, you have one run with Taker waiting. Kurt, come home and finish up. For God's sake, don't go down with that ship. Let's see. When Vince's back was against the wall, he woke up and fought to keep his company from going under. He didn't kill his own baby.
But Snitsky did.
You're welcome. So I went ahead and said, you know, I sent a tweet to Mr. Vicious and said, you know, you really got to stop giving her this kind of attention. She might do something worse. To which he responded, like, what? Bring Chuck Liddell out of retirement? Excuse me. So then another one that I had come across, which was also quite good, is our good friend Hurricane Helms responded to an inquiry from Chris Masters. Let's see if I have that handy. Where'd it go? Let me guess, that's not the one I posted. Oh. Well, Masters made the comment, oh, look at this, Tito Ortiz on TNA.
Again.
Any thoughts? And Helms said, yeah, his finisher should be the cricket crossface. So, again, really?
Yeah, the only thing is Tito's been there before, a little bit. Many
refresh
a moon
my
ago.
Refresh my memory.
I'm trying to remember myself. He was there right around when I would have graduated high school in 05. Oh yeah, special guest referee for Hall Justice, the porno.
Wait a minute.
No.
And then he was there also at Bound for Glory for the Jarrett Rhino match. Yeah, this would have been back during the Fox Sportsnet days, before Spike even came into the picture.
And not only this, but the reveal was spoiled by Bellator.
Oops.
According to one of our other panelists. Let's see, you fools pretty much spoiled it yourselves by teaming with Bellator, and they prematurely told everyone that we will get to see Tito versus Rampage. I don't know what's worse, the fact that Tito got no reaction whatsoever to the fact that your main event guys got no reaction either. So with that bombshell of loser leaves TNA, the fans are probably thinking, thank God, a talent is saved. That's from our own Shane Beeman. And I have to agree. Fourth, why the hell is TNA putting MMA guys at the top of their card with all the talent they still have on the roster?
Honestly, I have no idea. The only thing I can think of, maybe they realize they're screwed and just pretty much want to become the show for anything Spike TV wants.
Wait a minute. But from what I've heard, Bellator and Spike put them up for it. They kind of forced their hand because they are the highest rated program
Bellator's-
on Spike.
Bellator's higher rated than TNA?
Oh, cool. No, I was meaning TNA's higher rated Bellator. Or, are you right? Huh. Let me go check. TV by the numbers, go!
Please, I need these numbers, because if Bellator is actually outdrawing TNA on TV right now, they're screwed, because Bellator is going to use them as a platform. And there's going to be a lot of wrestlers standing backstage with their hands on their hips and shaking their heads.
Okay. I'm just trying to find current numbers. Thursday cable ratings. Okay, not even big enough to carry their jock strap. TNA, ditto. That's lovely. Apparently last time Bellator even made it into the top 100 cable shows of the night, it was back in April.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, for Impact, I don't even know. I still need to find, I'm trying to find it. I don't know if there's anything out there.
Well, I'll just go ahead and put this other one in here from Sid, another tweet of his. The August 1st warning was really meant for the original TNA talent to get the fuck out now while they can.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Aguilera, is that you?
Let's see now. Yeah, it's hovering around 800,000 viewers. Impact usually gets about 1 million. So,
neck and neck.
It's pretty much their numbers 1 and 2 on Spike. And if Spike were to end both, they may as well kiss their chances of being a television channel goodbye. Because outside of Cops, they would have nothing of worth. Oh, it was down to 500,000. Holy crap. They're losing people fast. Thank you, Jason.
Once they saw who the August 1 warning was, that a lot of people just picked up the remotes.
All right, fuck you.
And changed the channel.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If that I had actually been watching, yeah, I would have thrown something at my television.
I was watching, and given just how WCW this felt, I was trying to figure out if I was in a time warp.
Hold on. We're getting confused. I'm confusing myself. I'm confusing you guys. And by God, this should be cut from the cast. 1.2 mil last night. Without it, they're worthless. They're 480,000 on Wednesday nights.
So, yeah. Spike is in trouble. So, if TNA does fold, it's going to take a lot of things down with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, we need a knight in shining armor. We need a proud warrior. We need a gold medalist. Ah, fuck.
Johnny Walker. Blue Label. Oh, yeah.
Dork.
I saw a few people saying that in Angle's defense, this proves even he hated the August 1 reveal.
We have it on good word that him and James Storm and a few other people decided to imbibe after that event to try to stop the pain.
Apparently somebody didn't put up enough pain.
And so Angle's going for his third state to get a DUI in.
Mm-hmm.
And he still smiles in his mug shots, doofus. So, you know, Step Boy, I facepalmed when I heard that this happened again.
Mm-hmm. And so I cannot blame you. This is just insanity. Four DUIs, three states, all in the last few years. What is driving Kurt Angle to drink? It is TNA. What the hell am I saying?
Yeah, so at this point, he has entered rehab because it's probably a pretty safe refuge. Okay, I'll cut that out. But the usual jokes I saw was, you know, who hacked his car? Who hacked the breathalyzer test?
And I'm surprised there wasn't a female officer. You know why.
Oh, God.
I don't have that button handy, Step Boy, or I would play
Screw it. Screw your boobs!
So, anyway. Dorcas has finally figured out after four DUIs in the past 6 years and somehow still maintaining his license and his job. He has said that he is going immediately into rehab. Like I said, for his own safety. Fourth, you think this will help?
I hope that it helps. I'm not going to say that it won't, but just given how a lot of people in recent memory have entered rehab, it's one of those, it's tough to stay that optimistic.
I'm with you. Stat Boy, you know, I'm partially joking that Angle's doing this for his own safety, but he's probably needed this since like 2006 before he even left the Fed.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, because of that crippling pill addiction he had, especially as it was getting closer to the end of his run. Because remember, he was bigger in 1999 than he was in, say, 2002, than he, say, was in 2005. He was shrinking more and more, and it was kind of getting more and more obvious that pills were starting to take over his life. And now with this, yeah, he needs to get in rehab ASAP. Otherwise, if he combines the two, goodbye, Angle.
And I would not wish, I don't wish that on anyone. Oh, and Kurt, if for some reason that doesn't work, there's another WCW guy that might be able to help you a little bit more than all the old WCW hoo-has that are still in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Jake the Snake's got his own place. DDP will be happy to put that dork back together.
Mm-hmm.
So, to both of these, I say, actually, anybody want to sing along with me?
Sure.
Lol TNA. Bravo, sir. Bravo.
And I'm not exactly tone deaf, but damn, that was off key.
That's
Francis
right.
Scott off key. Here.
It's okay. It's not, you know, it's not like we're, you know, we're here to sing their praises.
Praises. That's a funny word. I thought it would have been shame and regret.
yeah, that's pretty much more what they're up to. But I'm just to the point now that, you know, they could just put anything on the microphone.
Oh, Neil, are you crazy?
Anyway. As it was revealed on last week's show, we thought the best thing that could have happened with the August 1 warning is Tara Strong walking out to the stage, sing Twilightlicious, bow, and leave.
What? Why am I missing this?
Blame Ethan.
Why am I not surprised?
You should be more surprised that it wasn't me.
Not exactly.
So, with that out of the way...
A drama to the groin?
Yes, we should talk about this. While WWE went ahead and put taped Raws and SmackDowns on TV, which, oh, by the way, there wasn't a whole lot of drop in Raw's ratings, despite being taped.
What did they get, like a 3-1 again?
They were still in the upper 300,000s.
300,000s? Panic! Bandit ship!
Down, sorry. Upper 3 millions, just under 4.
Huh, that's okay.
They didn't break the 4 million barrier, which seems to be the bar at this point.
Yeah.
So, but what you're referring to is with the crew in South Africa... Mm-hmm. One of the house shows had a very sudden interruption as Randy Orton was taking a moment to pose for his many deluded fans. A guy jumped into the ring, ran up behind him, and gave him one hell of a nut shot.
Woohoo! Woohoo! Woohoo!
Thing is, he must have missed because Randy got a shot in on him, too.
It didn't look like he missed.
We might have slipped.
Baby oil!
But yeah. Another idiot fan rears his ugly head.
It isn't just any fan. Apparently, he's also a wrestler. I'd have to look it up real quick, but from what I heard, he's a South African pro wrestler. Dang it.
Just don't say his name on air, please. I'm not going to give him that gratification.
What? Isn't it Candle Jack?
Thankfully, no. Get back here, Step Boy.
Ow! Why did Kano Jack do that to me?
Ah! Oh, good lord. My show has just fallen off the rails because of that idiot. And me without a single Freakazoid soundbite to save his ass. Okay.
Ow. I won't say his name anymore. He needs to stop violating me.
Oh my god.
Eek. So, anyway, so this idiot interrupts a show and probably just cost his chance for even getting a look from WWE. Then he cuts a promo on YouTube and challenges Orton and, you know, just being a dick. To him, and I'm sure I will not have any arguments, I have a wonderful opportunity for this guy. I want him to meet some people who have done a similar deed as he has done.
A nice toasty room?
Yes, where he can sit with the guy who tipped the ladder with Eddie Guerrero on it, with the idiot that interrupted the Triple H Eddie match at Raw Draft Night and didn't get on TV, to the streaker at WrestleMania 23, and a host of other dumbasses who we have told you do not jump the guardrail. Because all bets are off, you will be arrested, and if you're lucky, you won't get banned from the arena, which apparently this guy did, as my understanding. He was banned from the arena that they performed in that night.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, there we go. Raw numbers. 3.7 million Statboy. Not bad for a taped show.
Yeah. Although it did present some interesting... How do I put this? Great. I forget the words already. My brain is so dead.
Conundrum?
Yeah, conundrums. Something like that. Mainly because you had things happening on this last Monday Night's Raw that in taped form, they didn't even happen yet. They were already getting spoiled at that Raw. Mainly because, remember, they taped two Raws and two SmackDowns in, I believe, what, 3 days? 4 days?
4 days.
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, Raw did their thing, and then they took off. Wednesday, Thursday, the two SmackDowns were taped, and then they took off.
Yep.
But...
Which left a bit of a weird gap.
Admitted. But, again, unlike their distant second... Their ratings don't drop through the floor when you go from a live show to a taped show. Yes, there were spoilers out there. But again, if that only deterred a couple hundred thousand people, Statboy, I wouldn't, I'll take this.
Yeah, so would I. Mainly because, yes, I was one of those people, but I had no say in the matter. Work.
Well, there you go. Fourth, I'm sure you watch the shows, as it is a requirement here at the North American Wrestling Connection that you need to see these shows to discuss them rationally.
Yes, I did.
Did they feel taped?
Not necessarily. And Raw, I didn't think felt the usual taped Raw. It at least felt slightly fresher than they usually do.
SmackDown being typically taped, I really don't think that affected... That didn't affect me a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. But... Good thing it's just, you know, more work to get the SummerSlam card put together. And I spoiled nothing on last week's show, but now I can talk about some of the things that happened. Which, you know, I've got SmackDown fresh in my mind... And actually a very good triple threat match with Christian, Orton, and Rob Van Dam.
Well, of course, anything with Rob Van Dam is 5-star.
And anything with Christian will get the peeps interested.
And anything with Randy Orton being beat up, that'll work too.
Yes. I will certainly take it. It was actually a well worked. It was a well worked match. Yes, even with Randy Orton in it, because I got to give him points for one spot step away. I really do. Rob puts Orton down, sets him up for Rolling Thunder, and Orton rolls back over, and just as Rob leaves the ground for the somersault, he catches Rob and slams him. It was absolutely seamless.
Nice.
They decided not to turn anybody over the course of the match. At least I didn't hear a whole lot of booing. And maybe, just maybe, Forth, they won't screw this up with Christian.
I'm hoping they don't. I think they know what happened the last time they tried something funny like that.
I just want him to stay face. I mean, okay, fine. My ideal scenario, Christian beats Del Rio, Orton cashes in and loses. That might be my bias speaking.
Yeah, that's all of our biases speaking.
But I will also give huge points for Del Rio playing up, choosing his opponent. Fourth, would you have actually paid real money to see Del Rio fight Ricardo at SummerSlam?
Only if it wouldn't result in a finger poke, if it would result in a bizarre circumstance where Alberto's surprised that Ricardo actually wants to win.
Stat Boy, same question.
Damn it, Fourth. You stole my thunder.
Damn.
Well, then I'll ask you the same question, Statboy, with the Brooklyn Brawler.
Oh, my.
For the record, was also selectable by John Cena.
Yeah. And to be honest, would be an absolute... It would be huge... Well, how do I put this? The internet wrestling community would blow up. In a good way. Because that man's never even seen a belt in the WWF, let alone held one. Unless it's Harvey Whippleman's across his back. Wait a minute, that never happened. Or did it?
I don't think I'm going to comment. To be honest, though, when they did the first reveal with Ricardo, I loved it. I absolutely loved it because I was thinking, you know, okay, who would he pick? He would pick, you know, Hornswoggle or Heath Slater or, you know, somebody that obviously that nobody wants to see Del Rio fight. Now, I also know that there's a lot of people in the IWC who just don't want to see Del Rio because they still think he's boring as hell. I don't know. Del Rio Christian, I think I can settle myself in for. Even though I would mostly want to see this for Cena Bryan.
Yeah.
I can't help it. It's just, you know, I do have to say something about that match. The fact that they're having way too much fun with Vince's biases when it came to who performs where. The fact that Vince is showing that he's not interested in, he doesn't want to see Daniel Bryan in this match, much less win it, because he's nothing like what he would see in a WWE champion. Wow, I've been reading that on the internet for how long?
Since 1922. Oh boy. Back when it was all steam generated.
Oh, there you go. Well, seriously, Vince is. I almost see this as a rib on Vince, saying, you know, you've had your superheroes all these years, and look at what this little guy, who in civvies could walk through a crowd, and in most cases the worst, if they don't recognize him as Daniel Bryan, they'll say Grizzly Redwood. You know, in plain clothes, he's a regular guy. Mm-hmm. You get him his wrestling trunks and his jacket, and
yes, 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 yes.
It's infectious. Mm-hmm. And that's gotta drive. Vince up one wall and halfway across the ceiling. This little bitty guy's doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So, speaking of televised events, did either of you gentlemen watch the premiere of Total Divas?
Ninja, please. Oh, hell no.
Fourth?
No, I did not.
I don't blame either one of you, because we're still trying to figure out, you know, half, you know, the fact that all of these divas are employed by WWE, the fact that they've got cameras everywhere, we're supposedly getting peeks behind the curtain, but it's probably just more reality tripe.
Well, what a surprise. It's on E!
Well, I'll give them points for setting up cameras backstage when they decided to cancel the 8-person tag match. Now we really know why it got canceled. They needed drama.
Yep.
And here I felt bad. I actually felt bad for Brodus Clay and Tensai.
Yeah, I still feel bad for them and the Usos to some degree, but the other four? No.
No. So, no, I didn't watch it. I don't like reality shows to begin with. They're going to try to get me to watch it with an upcoming episode about Cena and Bryan having a man off.
That would be the only time I watch. And I'm guessing that's with the one where Cena's splitting logs.
Yes, you've seen the gif of him chopping wood. I am very amused, and if they don't play Regal's old man's man theme under this, I will be sorely disappointed.
Okay, if they do that, then we know what has to be a new Botchamania ending.
Oh?
I'm saying if they don't do it, we need someone to splice it in.
That's true.
Fair enough.
We know a few people that would actually do that for Matthew.
Oh boy. May I have your attention, please? I've just received an. Are you sure this is an email from the anonymous NAWC general manager? Because it's in a fortune cookie. God, let me break this open. Nikki.
Thank you.
This is for you.
Learn Chinese. I'm not making that joke, GM. Happy 1-year anniversary to the 3-hour Raw. If you want to call it that.
Happy.
Let's see, what else is he... That's about all he can put on here, so...
Look at this! I just found 50 others! Have fun!
Oh, for crying out loud, I'm not reading all of these. No. 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 Screw it. I'm gonna sit here and eat some fortune cookies. We need to run some commercials. Stat Boy, split them up between everybody, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Will do.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news?
3, 4, 5 or more?
Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, And to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com. The newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.
We're back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Fourth, Stat Boy Josh Henniger, and Mr. Brian Henniger has decided to join us tonight.
Yes, I thank you for that. It's an honor to be here. Kind of wish you could be making this visit under happier circumstances, but you'll find out why I'm saying that just in a moment.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wish you had been here for the first half of the frivolity, but I have asked you to come here to help me discuss a gentleman that we lost way too soon.
Yes, we did. Earlier this week, ladies and gentlemen, a longtime promoter and personality in the wrestling scene in Memphis, Tennessee, passed away. Corey Macklin, the former promoter for Memphis Wrestling, was in a car accident in Mississippi Tuesday night. He was killed at the age of only 43 years of age.
Mm-mm.
Far too soon to die.
And apparently, you know, you guys were telling me during the break that he was a commentator. He wasn't a great commentator. So let me get a second commentator's opinion. Jim, are you there, sir?
Present and accounted for, Nikki. Good evening.
You guys know this stuff a little bit better than I do, so I'm going to open the floor and let you to tell me about this Mr. Macklin.
Well, more or less, Macklin, the way I put it when I wrote the article on WrestleChat earlier in the week, was that he was kind of the liaison between old Memphis wrestling from back in the CWA days, I believe the association was called, Brian.
Yes, it began known simply as just Memphis Wrestling back in the 70s. It was sort of the Mid-American division of the NWA. And then the NWA, they split away from the NWA, and then they became the Continental Wrestling Association and were the CWA. And then that name changed in the 1990s to the USWA.
Macklin pretty much first got his big break when Lance Russell left for Atlanta and WCW for a cup of coffee in the late 80s, early 90s. And Macklin replaced Russell alongside legendary Memphis broadcaster and weatherman Dave Brown at the announce table. And Macklin, you know, everybody poops on Michael Cole when it comes to commentary. Macklin was far from the greatest commentator. He was not an easy listen. But what he brought to the table was more than announcing. He was a promoter. He had a genuine love for the business. A love that, transcended two eras of Memphis wrestling. He tried to bring it back multiple times in the 90s and 2000s to varying degrees of success.
He tried to bring in, it was called Power Pro Wrestling in the early part of the 2000s decade, and they had Jerry Lawler during his brief time away from WWE in 2001, I want to say it was.
That sounds about right.
Okay. And he briefly was a part of it. They tried to bring it back very recently as just Memphis Wrestling, and it didn't really work. Corey is perhaps most recently, he was the guy who booked what should have been a money match. They had a show at the at the FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee, a couple years ago, called the PNG Clash of Titans. I think was the name of the show, and it had been booked for months as Hulk Hogan versus Jerry Lawler. And then for some reason, WWE came in and they pulled all of the, they pulled Hogan from the show because it was going to be filmed for Hogan Knows Best, and since we can't have him at the time, he was under contract with WWE. And so he, they couldn't show him on TV, so they had to pull him. So they called him the Big Show as his replacement. As it was then billed as Paul the Great White. Back when he, back during his brief sojourn from the WWE. But you know, the thing about Corey Macklin, you're right, not the best commentator in the world, but you know, a guy who had a definite love for the industry and really cared about it. He was the guy who put together a lot of the Memphis Wrestling DVDs that were released recently over at High Spots. He was the guy who oversaw it. I mean, he was one of the guys who claimed partial ownership of the Memphis Wrestling footage, which that stuff is, you know, so tied up in copyrights, it'll be that way forever. But, you know, able to bring some of that to fans who had never seen it before, that's something that's kind of cool.
And on the newer versions of Memphis Wrestling that he brought to the table, he made it a point to take a moment out of the broadcast to go back to the good old days and show the legendary fights, the concession brawls, which were the thing of legend in the mid-South.
The empty arena match with Jerry Lawler and Terry Funk.
Oh, my goodness. The classic stuff. The saddest thing about this, and there are plenty of sad things, of course, you know, a great ambassador for wrestling in the mid-South passes. He leaves behind a wife and six children, and that's who we think about tonight. I mean, that's just no other way to put it. Just sad. Just sad.
Stepboy, Forther, you guys got anything to add to all of this?
No.
Just to say that I have a friend who lives in the Memphis area. He had told me about this happening, and he basically said that it was a shame, and from what I'm hearing, it definitely really is. It truly is.
Now, gentlemen, if we could take a moment. If you are wearing a hat, please remove it. Moment for Mr. Macklin. Thank you, gentlemen. Now, what else can we get into or out of? Talked about that. Oh, since we're talking about commentators, I'm actually going to go back a little bit and talk some more about this recent SmackDown. It was Josh Matthews and Alex Riley at the table.
Yeah.
They weren't half bad. Brian, what'd you think?
They really weren't. I mean, you know, it's a shame that Alex Riley's push has been kind of cut off at the knees, but I give them all the credit in the world. They sounded pretty good together.
Stepboy, did you actually get to hear any of this?
No, I did not, unfortunately.
Okay. Fourth?
I heard some of it, and Riley does have some jitters to get over, but that just seems like with more time, you know.
Something I enjoyed in his some of his commentary, yeah, he was talking a little too fast, but he also put a little bit of himself into it, especially during the Fandango CM Punk match, where he talked about the fact that he was in developmental with Fandango, kept calling him that, did not call him Johnny Curtis at any one time. So points there. talking about, you know, how they came up together, he mentioned something similar when it came to Biggie Langston. And this is a touch, Brian, that I think you would certainly appreciate.
I did. I mean, you know, if you have a past with a guy and if you have some history, you bring it up. I mean, you know, it does kind of blur that line between reality and kayfabe. But he didn't break kayfabe at all, in my opinion. It's a lot better than what happened. Do you guys remember when a wrestler called the Goon was in WWE in the 1990s?
Oh, God.
I've heard of this guy.
Well, basically, it was Wild Bill Irwin, who wrestled a lot in Dallas, and they brought him in as a hockey player called the Goon. I mean, he had the hockey hair, so it worked, I guess. And so they built him up for months as the Goon. You know, he is the Goon, the world, man of every hockey league in the world. He comes in, his first match, Mr. Perfect says, I know this guy. This guy is Bill Irwin, and he knows how to fight. It's totally ruined his push.
Good. Oh, my goodness. See, I like it better now with all the little subtle jabs that we've been getting, especially when it comes to Zeb Coulter.
Yes.
Every other week, there's a joke about speaking Dutch.
That's how you do it.
That's how you pull this kind of thing. Zeb Coulter's rant about Generico. I mean, Sami Zayn. The fact that he was able to work in Sami Zayn's ROH career without saying El Generico, like I just did, like a failure. That kind of stuff. That's how you do it.
Exactly.
So, but so WWE did it do a little bit of talking. And I'm going to come back to you in a minute, Forth, about the video game, because I'm really curious about that. Mm. But we need to talk some financials.
Oh?
Well, Vince was on call for the second quarter financials conference call. And he said that things are down a little bit more than he thought they would be. He wasn't going to beat around the bush. Yes, they know what they're doing. They didn't get the numbers they wanted from WrestleMania. He put over Total Divas. Said, you know, they've got all this other stuff that they've, you know, that they're sinking, that they've put money into. The continuing to fail WWE Network, the Performance Center, inking a new contract with Post Cereals for Fruity Pebbles and John Cena. A deal with Kmart to give John Cena a children's clothing line.
Oh, boy.
And all of this PG stuff is getting them the Good Housekeeping seal of approval.
Whoa.
That's a shocker.
That's big. To which all of the Attitude Era worshippers in the IWC are going, no!
If it draws money, that's all I got to say. If it draws a lot of money, you're not going to complain about it one bit.
Precisely. He took the time to brag about the app, of course. He thinks that his company is still very undervalued, but the Performance Center is really going to put WWE on some radars, because as we've mentioned on this show in the past, Hunter is dragging them kicking and screaming into the 21st century. So, you know, having that, you know, they've got quite a few people in that system. and he said, you know, that's a positive to look at for an otherwise lousy quarter. One of his gripes, and I almost wish I had one of my Nor'easter guys up here, was that they didn't make as much money as they wanted to on WrestleMania because they had it in New York. Go ahead, Stat Boy. These jokes write themselves, don't they?
Yeah, they write themselves pretty downright badly. It was their choice to go to MetLife. It was their choice to, you know, just generally hold it in that area where prices are higher. Mm-hmm. It was, then because again...
Because the standard of living is so high in New York.
Yeah, it's, I believe, one of the highest in the country. Only LA might be higher. Might. I'm not sure.
Which, something I can touch on real quick. SummerSlam, it's my understanding that the only reason it's been at the Staples Center for the last few years is that was a deal that they had worked out. And I think it had something to do with the Denver Nuggets.
Crunky.
I'm sorry. That 10-man tag was hysterical, and I will watch it again.
Especially
if only to see Dave Bautista get his revenge on the basketball.
Just for that, there was nothing left of the fan board. So I think you were there, Stat Boy, when Dave walked out with a basketball in his hand.
Yeah, that was like a what?
And there was nothing left of the internet.
Well, there was enough left. They all came out to say goodbye to Mr. Kennedy after it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved how they all five came out and they had like authentic Lakers jerseys. I want to know how they got those jerseys embroidered so dadgum quick.
I'll answer that question. No, I can answer that question.
Okay.
I'll just tell the story. When I was in Chicago for WrestleMania 22, back before there was access and all these meet and greets and all this other fancy crap, we didn't get a whole bunch. But they had a booth where you could buy the official jersey. And if you had an extra $10 and an extra 10 minutes, they'll put your name on it. It really doesn't take that long to go to stencil names. It was just probably, I think what took longer was the guys picking their numbers.
Yeah, because everybody had to have like 69, right? Or 0.08.
We didn't, if Sandow had been part of this at the time, his number would have been pi.
Pi is exactly 3.
Actually, he would have stopped it. He would have gone 3.14159, and he says, "You can stop there. This would take way too long if I had you put the entire number on the jersey." So let me get back to the financials, okay. Since we kind of strayed. Thanks to social media, thanks to that buddy app, there's a lot of growth going on in the company. And with that, they've had to hire more staff, which means that they're spending a lot of money. So all this getting all this content still needs a human hand. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, these are office people. So he's got to spend that extra money. If you drive a desk at the Fed, they have to give you the benefits package because you're a full blown employee.
Mm-hmm.
Questions were asked about the Performance Center, and they said, well, you know, they weren't going to go into too much, too many details, but they did mention that they were going to have a pretty sizable amount of people in there at any one time, between 50 and 100 individuals.
Wow.
But remember, this isn't going to be just wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be everybody.
It's going to be trainers. It's going to be, you know, strength and conditioning coaches.
I'm talking TV production crew.
Yeah.
They're training the... Go ahead. Oh,
sorry. I'm guessing this is where they're going to start editing and putting together the NXT episodes instead of at full sail, straight up.
Correct. And the fact that this is going to be a training ground, that not only are they they're training the next generation of wrestlers, they're training the next generation of handheld guys, the next generation of editors, graphics, hard cam, any sort of production piece, audio, video, digital, whatever it takes. They'll get a steady stream of people from Full Sail to learn how to do this WWE style. And oh, by the way, WWE style, even if you don't get hired by WWE, you could go to any of the big networks and say, hey, I can do live sports.
Mm-hmm.
And they will love you.
Because live TV is the hardest kind of TV to learn.
I speak from experience.
I know you do.
Something as simple as a marching band competition still requires a day of prep. WWE, you don't have a day. You've got a morning and maybe an afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. There's a thing about tax rates and some stuff about rights fees. Vince has famously said that he doesn't negotiate, but he would set the rights fees, and if anybody wanted to argue with him, you know, he would put him in a hammerlock. Vince, that's not quite how you do business on this side of the guardrail.
Mm-hmm.
So, numbers were, they looked at the numbers for the pay-per-views, and everything was down a little bit, except for Payback matched up with No Way Out. They ran about even. So, yeah, some numbers are down, but they've also spent a lot of money this quarter, so this wasn't going to be a very pretty picture forth.
No, it definitely seemed like while they weren't going to be taking a bath, if you will, they were at least going to be losing a good chunk of change.
But it's a good chunk of change that they are going to make up in spades down the line, Brian.
They absolutely are. I mean, this is something that should have happened about 5 or 6 years ago. You said it yourself, and you're absolutely right. The best way you can get to train the next generation of superstars, I hate to use corporate speak like that, but it's the truth. We're in an age now where we can no longer have, you know, guys learning, you know, from grizzled veterans to shut up and learn your place. Guys have to learn how to work, and WWE is a lot different than Ring of Honor. For any of the other independents, with a different style. You have to learn how to work a camera. And not only that, but the production. I mean, WWE has the best production department in almost any net cable or network program anywhere. And that needs work as well. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing some of the guys who come out of this place.
And seeing that I know some of the guys that are in this place, it's making me even more excited.
Like Sami Callihan.
I can't help it. I am still ecstatic that he's there.
It's a mark out! It's a mark out, bro!
Hey, you're not the only one. I've seen his CZW work, and he is good.
And He's a little guy.
Yeah.
This ain't Cannonball. This is not Cannonball Callahan.
What's Cannonball Callahan?
Sammy wasn't as svelte as what you've seen in recent years.
Mm-hmm. He used to be a little pudgy. Go ahead.
A lot pudgy. I met him in 2007 at an HWA event. And when I ran into him 2-3 years later at a Lucha Corps show, I didn't recognize him. Somebody had to tell me that was the same guy. That's how much weight he'd lost. That's how in shape he got himself. That's how much he dedicated himself to his craft. And now he's getting rewarded for it. And he's so little, I can wrap my arms around his waist and put my hands on his opposite hips. Tuscany is. So, but he's somebody who wants it. He's somebody who wants to get there, and he's almost there. Good luck, Sammy. Seriously. Yeah. Because we need guys like you who actually want to be there. Not rich gits like The Rock. Can I read you guys
something? Who in one of the two matches he has all year tears his muscles.
Tears his everything.
Yeah. Yes.
So somebody asked him if he was thinking about coming back. So let me read this to you.
Oh, boy.
And please preserve your rage until I have completed the statement.
Yes, ma'am.
And I quote from Dwayne, "I'd like to leave that open, but if I'd never wrestled again, I'd be very content with that. Winning or losing never really mattered to me. The whole idea was to put on a great match. I got injured. I was still able to walk out on my own, which I was even more happy about. I don't know. We'll see."
And the only thing I can say is, if he doesn't wrestle again, good. At this point, it's like, thank you, Rock, but get out of here. You can go keep making your movies, keep making your millions of dollars. Just don't come back, please. We've had enough, or at least I've had enough.
Well, here's the thing I said about The Rock, and here's what I was saying to Dinky about it. If I may get on my soapbox for a moment.
Yes, please. Stand.
Okay, thank you. I'm getting the nosebleed. Never mind. Anyway, here's the thing. I have no problem with WWE bringing him in to pop a buy rate to work a match.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is becoming a huge star in Hollywood. I mean, his movies are making a lot of money. He's becoming a big star in Hollywood now. I have no problem with them bringing him in to work a match. But I've always believed that the WWE champion or the major champion of your promotion should be a guy who can work the house show loops. Who's not just going to be at TV every other week and only in the big major markets. I'm talking the guys who will do the house show events in Poughkeepsie and Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and Chattanooga, Tennessee, in front of, 4,000 or 5,000 people. The guy who does the personal appearances. The guy who works his tail off like John Cena. Hate him all you want to. Guy's got a work ethic like you wouldn't believe. And that's not what The Rock is. The Rock, it was an attraction. He's not a guy you put the belt on. End of rant.
Fourth, would you like to chime in on this?
I do actually agree in some manner that The Rock really, over the last few years of his run, was not necessarily the guy to depend on in such a way. He was basically a special attraction. He wasn't a workhorse, really. So I do agree with him. I do agree with you, Brian.
Okay.
I mean,
look, I got nothing against The Rock. I mean, he's, from all accounts, a really nice guy, trains hard, can put on really good matches, an amazing talker, but you don't put the belt on him when he can't defend it but once.
I get why they did that, so that they could have somebody else besides Cena change the belt from the spinner to the man ring.
Which I'm going to say right now, I actually really like.
Yeah, it isn't a bad belt.
No, I do like the new design. But like I said, it looks like a freaking man ring. But I agree. The Rock is an attraction at best. And he could still go. He can still talk up a storm. But a lot of the luster fell off when he was trying to mic duel with Punk. Rock is good, but he leans on his cachet of catchphrases, where Punk does not require one.
I mean, I don't think Punk has a catchphrase, does he?
Best in the world.
But other than that, I mean, that's not really a catchphrase.
No. And that's what I mean. Punk, if you listen to one of their mic duels from the beginning of this year, Punk was talking circles around Rock. And Rock was trying to do his thing, but he can't do that with a guy who can talk about anything and make you believe him. My issue with Rock is the last couple of times he has said the Rock has come home. Yeah, to get wash your clothes for free and grab a sandwich before you get back on the road for another movie.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't get people's hopes up because people wanted to see you stay. You can't outright say, no, I'm just here for a cup of coffee. I understand that. But don't promise us that you're going to stay. And then do the whole bring it via satellite shit again. Not to mention, Statboy, we just sat there and predicted the whole damn thing.
Yeah, we could see it coming from a mile away. It was all a ploy just to get John Cena another championship. I'm sorry. I know I'm harping on that, but geez Louise.
No,
you're going to make him pass Flair.
No, God, I hope not. I don't think Hunter will allow that. Hunter didn't even let himself pass Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone would have done it, it would have been him.
Exactly.
Because he hero worships Ric Flair.
To the point, and I still can't find it. There is a picture out there of the evil doc with Flair blonde hair standing next to Ric. And I can't find it.
Oh, from the days he was terrorizing.
And because there's one out there with him with Kowalski. But I know there's one out there with him and Flair, and I want that picture. 100 internets to anyone who can find this picture and send it to me. But I shall stop ranting about The Rock. As I just caught somebody throwing a tweet out there that JBL gave Riley a thumbs up for SmackDown.
Cool.
Yeah, he gave him the seal of approval.
Let's see what he say. Congrats to Alex Riley on SmackDown. Heard he did a great job. Well done. And this is a man who is hard to please.
As Joey Styles can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a man who also jokes that his he does Scrooge McDuck shit on his spare time. He goes home and counts his money.
I was hoping for a swimming pool type deal with his safe.
He didn't go that far. But if you go find the inbox where they talk about, you know, talk about summer activities, and he talks about counting money.
His to-do list: 8:30, count my money. 9 o'clock, count my money.
9:30, change the denominations and count it again. And I just, you know, then Michael Cole poked his head in and says, and I'm the one who has to pay for the cab. Why should I spend my money on it? God love you, JBL.
I mean, but so you can tell that he's not doing any of this because he has to.
Exactly. It's almost like Lawler. He doesn't have to do this.
Because he wants to.
Yeah. And when you got guys who love what they're doing, it shows through the product. It shows in the matches. Show me a TNA match where RVD gave half a damn. Pun fully intended. And it won't measure up to anything he's done since he came back to the Fed.
Because he has the passion back.
Yes. I asked him how the road was treating him. He actually responded to me splendidly. Happy workers, great product.
That's how that is how it's done.
Corporate America, take note. If you don't have happy workers, you're not going to get good work. You can take the people with the best numbers and put them in a room, but if they hate each other's guts, you ain't getting diddly. Okay, that out of the way. I think I am going to call it a show. But before I disappear, Brian, do you have anything to promote or brag about?
I have one thing to promote. Pixel Nation on the CLW 83 Network. Me and Jason Block are going to be recording this week after my brief vacation, where I got to get a little sun out in Pigeon Forge. Had a great time. I have one thing I'd like to brag about, and you alluded to this at the beginning of the program, Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making this up when I say this. I am dead serious when I mention this. You're talking to someone who broke and set over the weekend an actual, honest-to-goodness, Guinness World Record. I actually broke a Guinness World Record during my trip to Pigeon Forge. There's a place out in Gatlinburg, Tennessee called the Guinness World of Records Museum. And what it is it's a museum dedicated to the Guinness Book of World Records. The guys who run Ripley's, believe it or not, now own the whole deal. So they run the museums. And they had the own, but at the end of the museum, they have a section called the Guinness World Records Arena. And the way it works is they have honest to goodness Guinness adjudicators who are trained in London to do the show. And once an hour, they bring people in and they have a couple of different events set up. And you can actually attempt to break a real Guinness World Record. They had brought in a brand new record that day where you had to take 10 golf balls out of a box and put them on a table and balance a golf tee on the top of each one of them. The record was, they set the record at 40 seconds. Some guy came in first and set it at 37 seconds. I trained and I stayed after. Me and this little girl went up and went for it. The adjudicator came out. I did my thing and I broke his record, and I was a Guinness World Record holder. I did 25.5 seconds was my time. And they said, you are now the world record holder. And I was so impressed. Then this little girl came up and broke my time by like 4 seconds. But for a minute, I held a Guinness World Record.
Heck, that's one more than I've ever had.
Yep, and what they're going to do is they're going to send me a certificate from London that has my name on it and everything, and I'm going to have it framed. So that was worth the price of admission. So that was kind of fun.
And since you reminded me of Pixel Nation, I kind of took away your thunder, Forth. Can you give me a little bit that Brian can take notes on for Pixel Nation regarding the Phenom Edition?
All right. Well, it's about $100, and it has a collectible tin box in the shape of a casket. It's got a card signed by The Undertaker, and it also has, in addition to the Ultimate Warrior pre-order, an American Badass era Undertaker pre-order. And judging from the image, it looks like from the year 2000 when he had the sleeveless shirts.
Okay.
So it's not going to be the Booger Red.
No.
Or those shiny brown pants he wore one show.
Oh, God.
Well, Next time, knock.
excuse me. I don't mean. I was listening in the Red State Blue State studio here. Hi. Can we get the Chief High Muckety Muck on his microphone, please? Because there's something very important I have to say. Chief, are you there? Chief.
Boss.
This is very important. Well, when he gets there,
I can substitute in his stead if you want.
No. Okay. No.
Oh,
there he is.
Yeah. Okay,
there he is. Hi, Muck.
I'm on the BS Big Show studio. What do you want?
Okay,
I keep telling you, people, invest in soundproofing.
Well, no. Well, here's the deal, Carl. It is now past 12:00 on the East Coast on August 3rd. And I just want to say...
8 p.m. officially, but yes, go on.
Okay, but I just wanted to say, hopefully, that I can express, and everyone else, a happy 30th birthday to the Chief High Muckety Muck of the CLW83 Network.
Hey! Jason's trying to kiss up.
No, shut up!
No, Mike Hoss did that yesterday, Jim.
Okay, well, there you go.
No, all joking aside, Carl. We know you bust ass for this network, and you know, I hope I speak for everyone, you know, and say, you know, I am honored to call you friend, and I just wanted to wish you. I hope you have a great day tomorrow, and many, many more. So
thank you very much, Chase. I appreciate it.
Here's all for right, a relaxing so, day as well. Hopefully,
yeah, exactly. So
and if I can.
You got. I'm just going to go back to researching for the show for this weekend. Yes. So we'll talk to you later, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
And if I can just add in real quickly, Carl, you are an exceptional friend, but more than anything that, you're an exceptional boss. You've let me do things that I've always wanted to do. You have given me freedom that a lot of people in your position wouldn't give. And I want to say thank you for everything that you do, Carl. You're an awesome individual. And happy birthday to you. Have fun tomorrow.
Sheesh, you make me sound like I run a country or something, but thank you.
Yes, he runs the country of Sasquatchia.
Derpy.
That too. Pony.
Derpy.
Given that I've probably given you plenty of reasons to kick me, the fact that you haven't at least earned you a happy birthday.
Your name's not Rob Seidelman.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
ouch.
No.
Burn.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Seriously, boss, thank you for putting up with all of our nonsense, and we're gonna make this something for sure. But
yes,
it's your birthday. Don't worry about a damn thing.
I appreciate it.
So, what else would you like to promote besides the fact that you are the big 3-0?
Let's go get some beer. Woo! No.
Jeez.
Get some O'Doul's for me.
Not much, really. I do have to get my butt in gear in terms of CLW3 stuff, but thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
No problem.
At the studio I go.
There you go, brother. Thank you.
Jim, you like promoting stuff.
Oh, I'm a shameless whore. Oh, wait. Did that come out?
You said it, I didn't.
Exactly.
Yep.
A couple of podcasts, Touch 'Em All, we recorded very recently. We talk PED usage. We talk A-Rod, Ryan Braun, and about seven or eight other players who are getting the ban hammer for Major League Baseball. We talk about some of the competitive division races. We also look at the exploits of a horrible announcer calling the wrong side of not one, but two walk-off home runs against his team. And lots more.
It wouldn't
more.
Be Hawk Harrelson,
oh,
would it?
Oh, you better believe it. You got to be bleeping me. Of course it is. Legend, wait for it, Dairy Stuff on Touch 'Em All. And also the podcast that was put up earlier this week, my friends from the Radio Racket, an internet radio show that was around from 06 to 09. They did a reunion show. They gave me the permission to put it up on CLW 83. It's a 6 hour plus podcast. I join in, and a lot of great radio people join in as well. It is an experience, to say the least. You probably won't get the references. You probably won't get the inside jokes, but you'll probably get a good kick out of it as they all shite all over what radio has become. So give it a listen, won't you please?
Oh, and just for you, Jim.
Ponies.
Was that Gene?
Yes, and yes. Oh, by the way, here's another one.
Oh, Jesus. Double shot of Brooklyn ponies.
Give him the triple shot.
No.
Pony.
That wasn't me.
That wasn't me.
Josh had a sex change. Okay.
What?
Well, when you said, when I heard the third pony, it came out of Josh's window, so he had a sex change. There you go, because it sounded like a female. It was a filly from Philadelphia.
Pony.
Grrr.
Owen. All
right, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. That's enough.
Okay.
Equestria Girls coming soon to the hub. There you go.
Mute thyself.
Good night, pony. Everybody.
Fourth, get me out of this.
All I can say is, if you want to laugh at someone who's lost it on Dixie, at the screen name TNA Booking on Twitter, you'll have to dig, but they just went off on her after the August 1 reveal.
I probably should have read some of those.
Mm-hmm. Oh, who was the August 1 reveal anyway?
Gugh.
Tito Ortiz.
The Huntington Beach bad boy.
Yep. Yep. Any who's? Yeah. To me?
Oh, yeah, this was the crowd reaction, Brian. That's how quiet the crowd was.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually hear the wind being torn.
Yes. Shane Helms put it best. Tito Ortiz's new finisher is the cricket crossface.
And the crowd goes mild.
Very much so. And for anybody else who wants to play around on the Twitterverse, you need to find Psycho Sid's Twitter, because he is just as mad at Dixie, and he's pretty much, you know, taking Scott Steiner's place. He's a hoot.
I run to a lot of countries.
Well, just the fact that this is the man who also said, and I have half the brains that you do.
I smell a new segment.
It may come to that. I think we should have a general wrestlers won't shut the tweet up.
Oh, my.
I'd be because as that,
and because I'm serious. The fact that you missed this, Brian. I sent a tweet to Sid and said, you know, quit giving her all this attention. You know, she might do something even worse. And he says, like what? Pull Chuck Liddell out of retirement?
Frank Shamrock on line two. Yes.
No. Ken Shamrock online too.
Well, there you go.
Because he worked for them, I think, during their... He was like their first ever champion, I think.
Yeah.
Well, my response... I give a canned response. Don't give them ideas! So, Step Boy, do you have anything to promote?
Outside of me slaughtering Sarge's slaughterers, nope.
Oh, you had to go there. You had to
73
go there.
Points, boyo.
You little smug. No, never mind.
Touch and, them all.
Oh, yes. And don't forget to look for us on Stitcher Radio and mm-hmm. Player.fm. If you don't have internets handy to go to CLW83.com to listen to our shows, at least pick up one of these apps, slap them on your phone. I'm not going to explain this because you should know how to put an app on your phone.
They're free, damn it!
They are. They're both free, and I'm not going to do the Michael Cole, hey, watch this.
Uh-oh.
Because this is a podcast.
Hey, if you haven't been listening on the Stitcher Radio app, I'm telling you, you've been missing out. Of course, you got the app, you listen in. Oh, wait.
The buy the shirt!
But yes, we do not shill like that.
Wrong!
We just save it for the end of the show and not every 30 seconds like the WWE.
And you will not find a Did You Know anywhere on our shows.
Yes.
Look all you want for one.
If you find one, if you find one, send it to us, and we'll explain ourselves.
Yes. And we'll we'll also hope that SportsCenter doesn't sue our asses. So.
Well, to that the you. You know, our to those who are listening, remember, you have over 280 episodes to dig through.
Have fun.
So, have fun. That'll give you a hobby. Mm-hmm. And you'll get half the jokes that actually happened on this show.
Yeah.
So, for Jim Williams, for our birthday boy, Carl Chenier, for Red State Blue State's Jason Block, for Step Boy Josh Henniger, for Brian Henniger, who will soon break the record for the most tourists swatted with a folding chair. And for Forth, who still can't get Typho to leave the other place and get his butt over here. My name is Nikki Heyman. I don't have anything to shill because I'm right here. This has been the North American Wrestling Connection. I hope you've enjoyed what you've heard. Please do listen in again.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.